Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. I think it's a little bit risky to invite an old denominational leader to come and preach. I heard of one, a bishop, who had the reputation of being very dry and very long. And he went out to preach in this little country church, and the crowd was unusually small. So he asked the local pastor, "Wasn't my coming announced?" And the poor pastor, shaking in his boots, thinking that his answer would mean he'd be up in Tuktoyaktuk or somewhere, said, "No, sir, but word must have gotten out anyway." But I don't know what my reputation is out there, whether I'm an interesting speaker or not, but I'm very happy to be here and to share with you a message that is very important to me right now. I'm finding as I age that prayer is becoming more and more important. I have always thought of prayer as being important. Began ministry in 1958. My wife and I went from our honeymoon to our first church in Minnesota. I was born and raised in Saskatchewan, but moved down there for 10 years of ministry. And prayer was very important then, but now as I'm getting older, retired, I've discovered that it's something I can do the rest of my life. So 6 years ago, I asked our pastor, we didn't have any particular prayer time in church, could I start a class on prayer? And so he said, sure. Our church in Abbotsford is very small. We're going through a transition right now, in which we're taking a big risk instead of letting the church die. And I heard this morning, you're the same age as we are, 114 years. And our church started as a little Swedish Baptist church right by the river in Matsqui. Close to in Abbotsford, and as a little Swedish church. And then some years later, they moved into town, and the church transitioned into English. And here we are, 114 years, and it looked like maybe we weren't going to survive. So we began the prayer time to pray, Lord, renew me, renew our church. So a few months ago, we voted unanimously to cease services and to give the leadership of the church to our denomination. And they're sending young preachers, seminary students, or associate pastors, and worship teams to lead us during the summer and maybe for the next year. And then the denomination will bring in a team of three young leaders to help renew our church. Renewal and transitions are difficult times. It's a big risk. We don't know the future, but we're trusting Jesus, who said, I will build my church. And we're basing our hope on that great promise. So I want to welcome you to the prayer class. That's what I call my prayer ministry. And beside doing the class every Sunday morning, I now have a mailing list of the lessons that go to 8 different countries. And many people are joining. And I'm finding that there is a growing sense of need of prayer. There was in Abbotsford the last 2 years, we had a community kind prayer walk all the streets of Abbotsford and pray. And I think that the times in which we live and the condition that churches are facing and struggling with, people are looking to prayer and looking to God for fresh renewal, for fresh blessing. So I'm no expert in prayer. I would call myself a student. I've written over 300 lessons since I started this, and I write my own material. I find that the Bible is a book of prayer. from one end to the other. When God first called Adam and said, "Adam, where are you?" God took the initiative to meet with his people. So prayer is, what is prayer? Well, it does beg a question. Great, you're right with me. What is prayer? Prayer is, and it begs a question. And the question is, what do you think of prayer? It's not always a popular topic. I know my pastor in Edmonton, when we lived there for 36 years, he was there about 20 years, tracked his sermon topics with attendance, and he found that the two lowest attendances was when he preached on prayer and on missions. What's wrong with us? The two things that God thinks are the most important. Well, what do you think about prayer? Since this is a class, you should be able to answer. What do you think about prayer? What do you think it is? Pardon?
Talk to God. Talk with God.
Talk to God. Okay.
Listening to God.
Listening to God. That's the other side, isn't it? It's the same coin, the two different sides, talking and listening. Now, when we pray, what do we do most of the time? We're mostly talking, aren't we, to God? Yeah. And listening is hard. We find those silent periods threatening. I know my prayer group, whenever I say, "Don't worry about silence, just listen," it's a nervous time. People are, "Got to do something, got to say something. Somebody pray, please." Well, here's what I think prayer is. Prayer is a lifeline to our Heavenly Father. It's like having your cell phone handy. It's available all the time, 24/7. But if you call God, the line's never busy, and he never puts you on hold. My pet peeve is when I call one of my friends on the cell phone and they say, "Well, could you hold, please? Another call is coming in." I feel like clicking off, but God will never do that to us. Above everything else, I think prayer is about a meaningful relationship with God. It's not just talking and listening. It's being with him. It's getting to know him. It's loving him. Yes, prayer is communication with God. Conversation. And conversation is both speaking and listening. When you're with someone who is an incessant talker, it gets kind of boring just being the listener, doesn't it? Well, I think God feels that way too. If all we're doing is talking to him about who we are and what our needs are, what about the relationship? Getting to know him, just loving him for who he is. Connecting with God's people around the world. When we pray, we're not there alone. When we gather in God's throne room, we're there with people from around the world. Every language. You know, the gospel is now in every country of the world. And there are a few Christians in every country of the world. And we all pray. And we all meet before God, and he can hear all those languages and listen to everyone. Isn't that a marvelous thing, to meet with all these people around the world? And it's working with Jesus. It's building his church, helping to build his church. And as we pray and pray for our church, pray for churches in our community, in our world, we're working with Jesus. And lastly, prayer is the mightiest force on earth. The greatest power there is. Yeah, there's nothing bigger. There's nothing more powerful. And if we truly believe that, we will engage with God in serving him through prayer. This then is how you should pray. And we'll read this together. And this will be our scripture reading. So let's read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. This is the prayer when the disciples came to Jesus and they had been watching him pray. And it was different than they were seeing their leaders pray, saying rote prayers and long prayers. And he was just talking to his heavenly Father, and they said, teach us to pray. And this is what he taught them. This prayer is all-inclusive. It's about honoring God. It's about God's will. You know, Jesus said, if you pray according to God's will, he hears you. It's about our needs, both physical and spiritual. It's all inclusive in this short little prayer. It's not meant to be said in rote or as a habit, but as a guide. And if you take each of these sections and just expand on them, and you come to God and say, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Your name is holy. God is holy. God is great. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. Prayer is connecting with the Almighty. There's some new telescopes out in space, and they're seeing some marvelous things, looking into many light years away. And I enjoy watching them. I draw some different conclusions than they do, but I still enjoy watching. And then I read in God's word, the heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. God is bigger. His greatness, no one can fathom. And he is our God. And he's the one we pray to. How good is that? How good is that? This great God of the universe, creator of not only the space, but the minute, he's invited us into his holy presence. This is a wonderful verse, Ephesians 3:12. In him and through faith in him, that is Jesus, talking about Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about coming into God's holy presence. You're there at Jesus' invitation and through his opening the way to the Heavenly Father. Isn't that good? You can come with confidence. And he's there right now, the right side of the Father, praying for us, praying for you, praying for me, interceding for us. What a great God we have. God always takes the initiative. Now, we think we may come to God, especially when we have a crisis or a need, that it was our idea to pray. But it was he who drew us. He prompted us, like he said to Adam, where are you, Adam? I'm looking for you. What happened? It was God who took the initiative. He reaches out to us where we are. Sinful human beings, often disobedient, neglectful, selfish. He's reaching out to us to come and invites us to come. Jesus extends a bold invitation. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Kind of like a blank check, isn't it? He gives you a blank check, you fill it in, sign it. Now, prayer does have some conditions, as we all know. David the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And there are those conditions. So the relationship has to be open and honest, and we need to be before God people of integrity. But what a great invitation. Prayer, simply opening the door to Jesus. If I can put prayer in the simplest definition or form, it's opening the door. We were in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and we saw the original painting of Solomon, of Jesus standing at the door. And you notice there's no latch on the door on the outside. He will never force us in, but he's there calling, knocking, asking. You let me in. I'm waiting. And it was a great moment for me to stand there and look at that life-size, bigger than life-size picture. And it makes this so vivid. Just open the door to Jesus. So I have three thoughts generally I want to leave with you. One, prayer is communion with God. And if we take from the previous slide, Jesus knocking on the door and saying, if you let me in, you can eat with me and I will eat with you and we'll have a great meal and a great feast together. We don't understand that verse unless you take a page from the Middle East. And I know there are some people here from the Middle East who would understand this a lot better than I do. But this invitation is not an afternoon snack. I have been in cultures where people will go in debt to put out a good meal for a guest. And it's a feast. That's what Jesus is asking us to open the door for. Take off your shoes, stay a while, folks, and enjoy this sacred hospitality. That's such a good picture, isn't it? The best. Communion is being with and enjoying God. Prayer's not just about asking. It's not even about using the right words. I still have some people in my prayer group who, after years being in the prayer group, still have a hard time praying out loud. It's as though they need to impress somebody, whether it's God or whether it's the people around, that they're using good words and the right words. It's not what it is at all. It's not about words. Philip Yancey said sometimes, in his book on prayer, said, sometimes I think my words are the least part of praying. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. So whether you say it or not, God already knows. He knows your thoughts and he knows what's in our heart. That's from Psalm 139. He knows our thoughts. And we're not on our own when we pray. We're not left to making up prayers or verbalizing our prayer. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. Who knows what's going on? He knows what we are, and he helps us. Listen to this. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. What weakness? Well, weakness to pray, for instance. Prayer's hard, sometimes very hard. We do not know what we ought to pray for. You ever been like that? You know you have a deep need, but I'm not sure I can tell anybody about it. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Prayer beyond words. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of God. So he knows God. He knows us. Say, Holy Spirit, take this prayer. I'm feeling something very deep. I don't know what to say. So I'm just going to wait and let you tell the Father what it's all about. Beyond words, praying beyond words. We all have difficult times in life. As I get older, more of my friends and family are passing away. Two younger brothers have already gone to be with the Lord. And those times of loss keep increasing. And I've known people who are well into their 90s say, all my friends and family are gone. Somebody posted on our bulletin board where we live in Evergreen Village in Abbotsford, signed it by one of the residents, I'm getting so old that my friends in heaven are wondering if I'm coming. Yeah. And loneliness and age kind of go together. My wife isn't with me today. She's feeling her age a bit more than I am, and she enjoys staying home. And I said, Ann, I've dragged you around the world for many years. If you want to stay home, you just stay home where you're comfortable. What a wonderful comfort the Holy Spirit is to help us in changes of life. Your church is going through a transition. He knows that. And praying for your church is wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit's there to help you. Prayer is communion with God's people. Oh, that's good. I just love group prayers, large groups, small groups. I've been in many kind of group prayers. David mentioned that I'd worked with EFC on the board. I was on the board for 18 years. And Brian Stiller, two different years, he invited a guest who had done some work with bringing people together in prayer. And we spent a whole week from 9 in the morning till 9 at night in prayer. I've been in an all-night prayer, but discovered it's not the best for me. I was wasted the next day. And it was a good experience. Prayer brings God's people together in an amazing way. We're never closer to each other than when we come together in God's presence to pray together. I have never heard any arguments in those settings. We're meeting with God. And as we draw close to God, we draw close to each other. The closer we draw to God, the closer we draw to each other. A church in prayer is a wonderful thing. There's nothing more powerful and blessed. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, in John 17, Jesus prayed this prayer in the presence of his disciples. I used to think that he prayed this kind of in a solitary place by himself, because it was his intercessory high priestly prayer in which at the end of his earthly life, he brought to the Father all that was on his heart. Then I read through the New Testament in a translation, but where someone had put together the gospels without chapter and verse and without duplication and brought it all together into one story. And I saw that Jesus was praying this prayer with his disciples. If you look even at your Bible, if you take out the chapter and verse divisions, the disciples are there before and they're there after. This made it even more meaningful to me. And he prayed for himself. He prayed for the 12 who were around him. And then he prayed for everybody who would believe. He prayed for you, for me. Who did he pray for first? In that prayer. His disciples. I grew up, here's how you pray. First you pray for others. Or first you thank God, then you pray for other, and lastly you pray for himself. You're for myself. Jesus prayed for himself first. Why? Because in a few hours, he would sacrifice his life. They would all be dispersed, running away in fear. And he knew they would need him, and he needed to be strong for them. I think it's a leadership principle that we who are leaders are as needy as everybody we minister to. And so we need to be right, to be filled. Ministry is about the overflow of our life. So when I, in my prayer time, sometimes I'll use the Gaither song, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup." No, I say, "Lord, let it overflow. Let it overflow to others." The church at prayer is a powerful force. When their leaders were arrested, the church went to prayer. This is Peter and John, I think, were arrested and put in prison. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, a picture. Why did I put that picture in there? This is a picture about persecution. It's been, EFC has publicly stated that there are about 5,000 Christians die every year because they're Christians. One of my missionary friends in Ethiopia said one of the leaders that in their church was hauled before the court for being a Christian. And so he went to execution like this, and the bullets were fired and the bullets turned to the right each time and missed him every time. And finally, they let him go. Doesn't happen all the time. But Christians around the world are suffering, and praying for them is a wonderful thing. But whatever our hardships are, whether it's as a church or as individuals or families, it's wonderful to pray together. And a church that believes and practices prayer is a powerful thing. And three, prayer is cooperating with Jesus in his mission. By prayer, we participate with Jesus in his mission to build his church around the world. We can go to Iran, where Christians are meeting quietly in homes. One lady said, "The hard part is wondering when the knock on the door will come." I have a connection to Iran through House of Omid Ministry here in Burnaby that one of our friends, Ahmed, is leading, and he's going back to Middle East. tomorrow. And praying for him, praying for the church around the world, praying for people is very, very important. By prayer, we reach the unreached. And that's a needed focus there. That middle section of that picture is where most of the unreached people are. And praying that the gospel will continue to go is important. By prayer, we can reach North Korea and Afghanistan, the two most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. We can work with missionaries all over the world by prayer. We work with our own church by prayer, supporting our leaders and meeting needs. When we can, we take the next step. While prayer is the most important, it's not everything. Sometimes God calls us to answer our own prayers. So I pray for my neighbors, and every once in a while, God will just, "Hey, I think you should knock on the door. How are you doing? It's COVID. They're hiding." So I used to go just down the hall. "Are you okay? How are you doing?" And right now I'm meeting with a man who showed up in church. And his parents were missionaries in South Africa. And he's not sure there's a God. So he said, "Prove to me that the Bible is God's word." I'm not sure I'll be successful, but this week we're going to go through why do I believe it's God's word? There are lots and lots of evidence. By prayer, we lend a helping hand to people in need, and in action, making friends, helping to build the church of Jesus Christ. Prayer is the greatest privilege we have as God's people, and something we can all participate with. We can all pray, and I'm sure we all do. So my encouragement to you is keep learning, keep growing in your prayer journey, and it is a journey. Like I said at the beginning, I'm no expert. I'm a learner, and I'm finding that every lesson I write, I'm learning. I say, "Wow, I've written over 300 lessons, and yet this is so fresh. This is so new." One, to be with God, in communion with God Almighty. Two, to be in communion with God's people. And three, to be cooperating with Jesus in his mission. In prayer, we are closer to God and with each other than at any time this side of heaven. Knowing God intimately is to understand prayer better. If you know the heart of God, you know whether you're praying according to his will. Here's Paul's prayer, and I'll read this as a closing prayer for you. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness, all the fullness of God." Amen.